And a special welcome to Chris back in the back. One of my students. Glad you're here, Chris. And everybody else as well. Welcome. I'd like to start by reading Psalm 96. Psalm 96 is a good missions psalm, and you'll see some echoes of Revelation through it. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established, it cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound in all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Once again, welcome. Liz and I want to give you a report on our trip earlier this month to the Philippines to visit close friends of ours, Tim and Cleo Unheim. We are thankful to the Lord that we had the privilege to make this trip. This was not a missions trip, but here are the motivations that we had for the trip. First of all, to reconnect with good friends, to get a close-up look at their ministries in the Philippines, to provide encouragement to Tim and Cleo, and to experience the Philippines since we had never been there before. So Tim and Cleo are missionaries there, but perhaps not in the traditional sense, as you'll see. So, ancient history. Tim and I were good friends growing up as MKs, missionary kids. Okay, we're commonly known as MKs. Both of our parents were missionaries with the Christian and Missionary Alliance, mine serving in Laos, and Tim's were serving in Thailand. We were both born in Southeast Asia and attended Dalat School in Vietnam, and then it later moved to Malaysia. Dalat School is a boarding school for MKs in Southeast Asia that is run by the CMA. We were roommates in grades 4 through 7 and again in grades 9 and 10. We had to make sure that we got that all straight while we were there, but that's history. We were not only roommates, but we were really good friends, meaning that not everybody I was a roommate with was a close friend of mine. You got that right. So closer than family. Get us together, Tim and I, and we can spend hours and hours recounting our childhood memories. Just don't ask Liz how long that took. Okay, so for example, I'll give you one story. In grade 9 in Malaysia, we caused some mischief along with a couple of other guys by breaking into a guard's hut next to a water tower in the jungles near the school. We ended up having to meet with the local constable about some of the damage we had done. But from then on, we were the WTG, the Water Tower Gang. That was probably the worst thing we did. I am sure we were a challenge at times to the dorm parents, but for the most part, we were harmless. We were probably emotionally abusive to some of the other kids. Tim, or Undy as we called him, initially went to the Philippines as a single missionary with the CMA in the 1980s. He met Cleo, his wife, at a seminary in Manila in the Philippines. After getting married, they returned to the U.S. around 1992, and then he went to seminary and graduate school and earned a PhD in ancient Near Eastern languages. So if anybody knows Akkadian, or even knows what Akkadian is, Tim can converse with you. They returned, they returned to the Philippines for good in 2004. Tim taught at several different seminaries in Manila, primarily teaching Hebrew and Old Testament. In 2010, so here's the reconnection, we had the 40th class reunion for our class from Dalat School, and this was held in Godfrey, Illinois. Tim and Cleo, with many of my other classmates, were there, and we told Tim and Cleo that we wanted to visit them in the Philippines sometime, and this year that finally happened. So on the first Sunday we were in Manila, we had the opportunity to hear Tim preach at their Filipino church where he is an elder. Now, I think you see the slide with him preaching. I don't know if you can see the PowerPoint next to him. Tim likes to break into song when he preaches, so he had to sing Don't Worry, Be Happy as part of his sermon presentation. Okay, Pastor, you got that right. One of the first things we did in Manila was to tour four seminaries he teaches at. So there's the Alliance Graduate School, the Biblical Seminary of the Philippines, the International Graduate School of Leadership, which is actually run, established by Campus Crusade, and then finally, I like the name of this one, it's the Christian Faith, Hope, Love Prayer Institute and Seminary. And I attended one of his classes at this last school, and then was invited to speak at their chapel service where I shared with them the story of my parents and the Hmong people.
My first opportunity to get to know Cleo was during the 2010 class reunion. We had a long conversation one morning, and she told me about the Inakai Center, a ministry to incarcerated women and their children. Her love and concern for these women, as well as her desire to see them and their families come to know Christ and survive their very difficult situations, was palpable. Now, after celebrating their 10th anniversary of Inakai, her passion has not changed. They work in one women's prison in Manila. Most of the women are incarcerated for possession or sale of drugs. Their sentences are long, often from 10 to 15 years. They're given food and prison garb to wear, but they're not provided with any personal care items. Their children are left and usually end up living with a relative, and it's often a grandmother. The women who wish to come under the care of Inakai must first be screened and apply and must agree to follow the guidelines. One of these is to attend a weekly Bible study held in the prison. The women are then provided with necessary personal care items like comb, soap, toothbrush and toothpaste, laundry soap, shampoo. Their children receive a monthly allowance to pay for school supplies, school uniforms, and transportation to school. One of their main goals is to help keep these kids in school. Their guardians are also given a monthly allowance to help provide food and other necessary items for their care to their extended family. Once a month, the children and guardians attend a program hosted by Inakai. We were fortunate to be visiting when one of these programs took place. It was to begin at 10 a.m., but people started arriving at 9, and it ended around 4. There was hymn singing, games played, testimonies, a Bible study, and then small groups were formed for discussion. Birthdays were recognized with gifts, and then they served lunch. Chicken and rice and soup. Later came dessert, a sweet rice porridge in suman, coconut-flavored sticky rice wrapped in banana leaves. All served to about 60 people, kids and their guardians and guests. Some of the kids had worked to prepare a choreographed dance routine, and they performed. At the end, children and guardians stayed to pick up their monthly allowance, carefully dispersed with receipts and signatures and full accounting. Every quarter, the monthly program is held, or once a quarter, the monthly program is held at the prison. This is often the only time the mothers get to see their children. And while the moms look forward to these meetings and get much encouragement from seeing their kids, the children are often not as enthusiastic. They deal with a lot of anger and unforgiveness directed at their moms. The new president of the Philippines, who took office within the month before we arrived, is changing policy in a war on drugs, which is having a profound effect on this ministry. He has decreed that a person accused of possessing, using, or selling drugs can be shot. No arrest, no due process, killed on the spot by an accuser. Also, a new commissioner of prisons has suspended the rights of all groups ministering in the prisons. The monthly meeting that took place during our visit took place at their home, but it was originally scheduled to take place at the prison, but this could not occur. The moms were very discouraged by this. And Cleo, when we left, Cleo was planning to try to meet with the head of the prison where they minister in hopes of regaining entry. We don't know the outcome of that meeting. But to finish, I would like to present you with four individuals that we met involved with Inakai. Ina. She was one of the kids in the program. When her mom, Marlene, was incarcerated, she applied to join the Inakai ministry. Her three daughters, including Ina, had moved in with an aunt. A home visit revealed that the aunt was feeding her own family first, then feeding Ina and her sisters, if there was any food left, and often there was not. Now, as being under the ministry, she began to receive a monthly allowance, and the three girls began to receive food. Marlene served her 13-year prison term and was released 5 months ago. We met her. She was at the home while we were there. While incarcerated, she was taught to do beadwork so she could make items that are sold by Inakai, and this provides her with a small living now that she's out of prison. Marlene has a Bible and still attends a Bible study, but has not yet professed to know Christ. Ina has been hired by Inakai to do office work, and we saw her almost daily. Chris. 9 years ago, Chris came to help with Cleo's mom, who was living with Tim and Cleo and who needed 24-hour care. Cleo's mom has gone home to be with the Lord, but Chris stayed. She's not left in 9 years. She has a small room in their home, and now she works in the Inakai office. She also attends college, which is being paid for by a couple from their Filipino church. Chris works really well with the kids and their guardians and keeps the books. We saw Chris every day. And then there's Mike, Cleo's grandnephew. He came to live with them within the last year after graduating from Maritime College. Mike does it all. He runs errands to buy supplies and grocery. He sweeps. He washes dishes. One day I beat him, but most days he beat me to washing the dishes. And he also works in the Inakai office, where he is a whiz at Excel. I was impressed. He stays at their home when they travel, so the house is not empty and open to intruders. He also helps to plan, organize, and run the monthly programs. He loves ministering to the kids, and our observation is that he's really a natural at this and gifted. His care and concern are visible. He's also a lot of fun, and he relates well. Mike told us that his experience while working with Inakai has changed him, and he would like to continue ministering in this way. I came away with the thought that everybody needs a Mike. We saw Mike every day. And finally, Mary Beth. She gave her testimony at the monthly program, speaking in Tagalog for 45 minutes, which we did not understand, but we did ask her afterwards, and this is her story. She was sentenced to 15 years in prison for a crime she did not commit. While in prison, her Her two youngest children, she had nine children, her two youngest children died. Mary Beth became part of the Enochi ministry and came to know Christ while in prison. An investigative reporter took up her cause, heard her story and took up her cause, and helped to prove her innocence. And she was released after serving only 6 of the 15 years. She is one example of the women who have been impacted by this ministry. And then just a few words about Cleo. We were greatly impressed with the many hats she wears as she works in this ministry. This was her burden given to her by the Lord, and she's developed it from the ground up. She serves as administrator, but cook and bottle washer. She supervises the office staff and yet turns and discusses the fine details of a beading craft project. She directs in the bookkeeping and has set meticulous standards that need to be met so their ministry will not be found amiss in handling their funds. She chases goats from the fields and takes the early shift when it comes time to crush the sugar cane, then turns to researching the standards their operation needs to meet to receive FDA approval. She is capable and hardworking, deeply spiritual, and we were privileged to get to know her better and to call her our friend.
Although Tim initially went to the Philippines to teach in seminary, his teaching has been drastically reduced because he and Cleo have recently started a sugar production endeavor. This is quite amazing. They have a sugar cane farm 3 hours north of Manila on farmland from Cleo's family. They have only been doing this a couple of years and are still working on making the process efficient and meeting quality standards. They have formed, they formed a corporation in such a way that the Enochi Foundation is a majority owner in the business. This was a bit of a complication to get this done. Eventually, their desire is that the profits from the sugar processing will be used to fund the foundation and its programs. So while we were there, we went with Tim and Cleo to what they call Sugar Land, the farm with the production facilities. So we spent 2 days on the farm in Tarlac. It was quite different from the city of Manila with its traffic and people and noise. This was farm country, Philippine style. Fields of rice and sugarcane, water buffalo, chickens, goats everywhere. Quiet with clean air, really nice and peaceful. They have a very nice guest house on the property that we stayed in. They have 5 people that work there managing the property full time, even in the off season. There's Conchita and Josie and Myrna and Rocky and Danny, but they're more than workers. Rocky is Cleo's nephew and Mike's father, just to make the connection. Myrna is from a different part of the Philippines. She married a man who was from the community where the farm is, but her husband ended up divorcing her and leaving, but she continues to live there and remains part of the community. She's really the manager of that property while even during the time that Tim and Cleo aren't there. And just as an example, while we were there, Rocky and Danny were working on how to seal the main processing building to keep birds out of it. As you can imagine, birds aren't good for where you're trying to produce sugar. The sugar processing is a huge and complex undertaking that requires equipment and much labor, especially during the sugar processing season, which runs from December until April. Their product is a special type of brown sugar called Muscovado sugar. I had to look it up on Wikipedia to see what that really was, but it's Muscovado sugar.
Just want to mention a few takeaways from this trip. These are mostly personal and cultural. But first of all, it's fun to ride in a jeepney, and it's fun to ride a tricycle, but only once. They're built more for Filipino-sized people. Traffic is bad, really bad. Worse than anything we ever saw in Bangkok or Saigon. Steve and Tim drove to visit a museum one day. It was 9 miles away, and it took them four hours to go that distance. 4 hours for 9 miles. And to top it off, the museum was closed. Sorry. Poverty was much more severe than we expected. Squatters' villages were found along major roads in Manila, and they don't own the property. If the property owner comes in and says, I'm going to build a mall here, they're gone, and they have no place to live. Armed guards abound. You must pass by two to enter a bank, two to enter a mall, and the grocery store. And when you pass by them, you have to open your purse or your bag. They have a stick, and they go through your belongings. We were never stopped, but anyway. There are some very seriously scary-looking wiring issues in Manila. This is just a few of the shots, but pretty much everywhere you go, this is what their wiring looks like. But we only lost power one day. A videoki machine, rented for 24 hours, played at full volume outside and singing with people you met less than a day ago, is a really, really fun way to celebrate your 43rd wedding anniversary. And we thank you, Frank Sinatra and Simon and Garfunkel. You realize the extent of your friendship when you're willing to take 3 flights, over 30 hours, and 12 time zones to spend time with them. And what a good time we did have with them. And lastly, it is an amazing and tremendous blessing to travel to another country, culture, language group, and be able to connect with believers. There's fellowship and a bond of love just because we are brothers and sisters, because of Christ.
We'd like to close. We're done. But we'd like to close with a few prayer requests. What's that? Oh, I forgot. Okay. I forgot one thing. This was bound to happen. I did forget one. You're right. So, we visited Corregidor Island. If you were here last Sunday night, you heard Pastor use Douglas MacArthur as an example or illustration. And so we got our picture with General Douglas MacArthur. And whenever we see this, my friend Tim is always quick to apply it to us. And he says, that really means you, Liz and Steve, that you will return. This is his. So we have this. He holds this over our heads. We shall return. I'd now like to close with some prayer requests, though, based on some of the things that we've talked to you about. This Inukai ministry to women and children, their current social worker is on leave and very likely will not be able to return. And this position is critical to their ministry. So to get the approvals that they need for the government, they really need a social worker that can work with them. So that's an important prayer request. Another one is for the grandmothers. Most of the guardians are grandmothers, and they're the guardians for the children. Many of them are very discouraged and feel they cannot continue. And we'd ask for prayer for their strength and endurance. Then we'd ask for prayer for their farm and the success of their sugar business. There are a lot of important decisions regarding the production process. I found out this was way beyond anything I knew anything about, that's for sure. Also, Myrna. Myrna was one of the women that works at the farm, actually the main manager there. And she has some significant health needs. And we assured her that we would bring her request back to our church family. So that's one name that you could help remember. And then finally, for Tim and Cleo, strength for the tasks and the encouragement in their ministry there. So, Pastor, I'd ask that you come and lead us in prayer.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we do praise you that you know all things and you see all things. There is nothing hidden from your sight. And Lord, we are amazed that you have planned all things and your control of all things when we see how many billions of people there are in the world and how many problems, how many people are suffering, how many people need the gospel. And Lord, sometimes we get overwhelmed. But Lord, thank you that you know it all and that you care for each one of your creatures. Thank you that you care deeply for each one of your children. And Lord, thank you for Steve and Liz and their willingness to travel and see your work around the world, to see friends. Thank you for their willingness to share what you are doing there in the Philippines. Lord, we lift up these requests to you this evening. We pray for this ministry of NAK and just thank you that they are reaching people for the gospel in prison. And Lord, it is heartening to hear of what you are doing there. And I pray that you provide their needs for a social worker. I pray that you would provide for their needs for finances. I pray that you would provide for these grandmothers who watch over their grandkids as these kids' mothers are in prison. Lord, I pray that you would just bring comfort and hope through the gospel, that you would encourage them, that this ministry would be able to encourage and sustain them through these hard times. We think of Tim and Cleo and their farm. I pray that this farm would be successful and that it would bring forth money, finances to support the ministry of NAK. We think of Myrna, the one lady who is supervising the farm. I pray that you would bring her healing from her health needs. And I pray, O Lord, that she would truly know Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for Tim and Cleo's ministry, for Tim's teaching in seminaries, for the ministry with those who need the gospel in prison. Lord, I pray that you would sustain them. I pray that you keep them from the evil one. I pray that you would give them daily grace. And I pray that you would bear fruit through their ministry. So may they be faithful to you to the end. And Lord, as we see your work across the world, I pray that you would just stir our hearts to see Jesus Christ glorified across this world, but also in our own very lives in our town here in Allegheny, New York. So we thank you for the time we've had together. In Jesus' name, amen.